اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحانك يا الله تعاليت يا رحمن، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا رحيم تعاليت يا كريم، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا ملك تعاليت يا مالك، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا قدوس تعاليت يا سلام، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا مؤمن تعاليت يا مهيمن، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا عزيز تعاليت يا جبار، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا متكبر تعاليت يا متجبر، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا خالق تعاليت يا بارئ، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا مصور تعاليت يا مقدر، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا هادي تعاليت يا باقي، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا وهاب تعاليت يا تواب، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا فتاح تعاليت يا مرتاح، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا سيدي تعاليت يا مولاي، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا قريب، تعاليت يا رقيب، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا مبدئ، تعاليت يا معيد، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا حميد، تعاليت يا مجيد، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا قديم، تعاليت يا عظيم، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا غفور، تعاليت يا شكور، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا شاهد، تعاليت يا شهيد، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا حنان، تعاليت يا منان، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا باعث، تعاليت يا وارث، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا محيي، تعاليت يا مميت، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا شفيق، تعاليت يا رفيق، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا أنيس، تعاليت يا مونس، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا جليل، تعاليت يا جميل، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا خبير، تعاليت يا بصير، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا حفي، تعاليت يا ملي، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا معبود، تعاليت يا موجود، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا غفار، تعاليت يا قهار، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا مذكور، تعاليت يا مشكور، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا جواد، تعاليت يا معاد، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا جمال، تعاليت يا جلال، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا سابق، تعاليت يا رازق، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا صادق، تعاليت يا فالق، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا سميع، تعاليت يا سريع، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا رفيع، تعاليت يا بديع، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا فعال، تعاليت يا متعال، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا قاضي، تعاليت يا راضي، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا قاهر، تعاليت يا طاهر، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا عالم، تعاليت يا حاكم، أجرنا من النار يا مجير. سبحانك يا دائم تعاليت يا قائم أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا عاصم تعاليت يا قاسم أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا غني تعاليت يا مغني أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا وفي تعاليت يا قوي أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا كافي تعاليت يا شافي أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا مقدم تعاليت يا مؤخر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا أول تعاليت يا آخر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ظاهر تعاليت يا باطن أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا رجاء تعاليت يا مرتجى أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ذا المن تعاليت يا ذا الطول أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا حي تعاليت يا قيوم أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا واحد تعاليت يا أحد أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا سيد تعاليت يا صمد أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا قدير تعاليت يا كبير أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا والي تعاليت يا متعالي أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا علي تعاليت يا أعلى أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ولي تعاليت يا مولى أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ذارئ تعاليت يا بارئ أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا خافض تعاليت يا رافع أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا مقسط تعاليت يا جامع أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا معز تعاليت يا مذل أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا حافظ تعاليت يا حفيظ أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا قادر تعاليت يا مقتدر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا عليم تعاليت يا حليم أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا حكم تعاليت يا حكيم أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا معطي تعاليت يا مانع أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ضار تعاليت يا نافع أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا مجيب تعاليت يا حسيب أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا عادل تعاليت يا فضيل أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا لطيف تعاليت يا شريف أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا رب تعاليت يا حق أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ماجد تعاليت يا واحد أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا عفو تعاليت يا منتقم أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا واسع تعاليت يا موسع أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا رؤوف تعاليت يا عطوف أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا فرد تعاليت يا وتر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا مقيت تعاليت يا محيط أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا وكيل تعاليت يا عادل أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا مبين تعاليت يا متين أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا بار تعاليت يا ودود أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا رشيد تعاليت يا مرشد أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا نور تعاليت يا منور أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا نصير تعاليت يا ناصر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا صبور تعاليت يا صابر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا محصي تعاليت يا منشئ أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا سبحان تعاليت يا ديان أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا مغيث تعاليت يا غياث أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا فاطر تعاليت يا حاضر أجرنا من النار يا مجير سبحانك يا ذا العز سبحانك يا ذا العز والجمال تباركت يا ذا الجبروت والجلال سبحانك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين وحسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم صلوات أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الهداة المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being able to come this far in the month of Ramadan and to be able to experience the 15th night of the month of Ramadan, which is the night of the birth of Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayh, our second beloved Imam, the first grandson of the Prophet, the first grandchild of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi as-sibt al-akbar, the Imam who has led us in a very critical time in our development as the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. We ask Allah first and foremost, by the right of this Imam and by the right of this occasion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves us of the difficulties and hardships of the pandemic and whatever else is causing us as a community not to be able to come together as we used to regularly, especially for occasions like this. And we hope that, inshallah, Imam al-Mujtaba, who is known as Kareem wa Ahlul Bayt, all of the Ahlul Bayt are Kareem, they're all noble, and part of their nobility is their generosity, or as a result of their nobility, you see generosity in their giving, as that is what our Imams generally have been known. And Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi has specifically been known, and that's why he's referred to as Karimu Ahlul Bayt. We hope that, we ask him, Ya Imam al-Mujtaba, that you help us. We want to be able to come together in our own building that, inshallah, we will purchase. We are in the process of purchasing, and that all the activities that are pleasing to you, we're able to conduct over there, inshallah. We consider it your base, and we ask you to give us the tawfiq to serve you in this center, inshallah. Imam al-Mujtaba salamullahi alayhi deserves a lot more attention in terms of covering him, his words, his leadership during the 10 critical and crucial years of imamah that Imam al-Mujtaba had after the shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. And his seerah and his sunnah, which is the sunnah of the Prophet manifesting during that period, those conditions, Imam al-Mujtaba had various factors to deal with. The people that he had to lead, he was the Imam, and he was the Imam for all, not only those who identified as Shi'atu Ahlul Bayt, not only those who aligned themselves with Amir al-Mu'mineen after Uthman, not only those that understood the imamah of the imam, who were very few actually, the ones who really understood the concept of imamah in Islam and the true khilafah of the Prophet, there are very few. Imam al-Mujtaba is not the imam of those very few. He is their imam, but he's also the imam of the ummah of the Prophet. All those who've accepted Islam, he has a responsibility to guide them towards Allah. And if then with that, that's a very large population, Imam al-Mujtaba's time would be consumed with them. If there would be an opportunity outside of that to have spread Islam beyond the borders of Islam, then there would have been a responsibility, which that never occurred. Perhaps some non-Muslims that were still around, Christians, Jews, Majus in parts of current-day Iran and Iraq, there were still the remains of the Persian Empire in current-day Iraq and Iran. And so some people might have been still Majus at the time. Perhaps, but then in terms of expanding the borders of the Islamic country or the Muslim country, that was something that obviously he was not able to do, as the conditions weren't right for him to do that. But the people that were within the borders of the Islamic Empire or the Muslim state, they were various in terms of their abilities, in terms of their beliefs, in terms of their understanding, in terms of the influences on them. There was a lot of misinformation that was being circulated officially by Muawiyah before the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen, spreading lies, rumors, was one of the techniques used by Muawiyah la'natullah alayh against Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the people, unfortunately, even his the people that had pledged allegiance to him, they fell prey to that, they were influenced by that. And so there wasn't as much support towards the end of the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen as there were at the beginning of his khilafah. It's only a matter of about 5 years that we're talking about here. But in the initial days and first couple of years, there was more support. And eventually, towards the last year or so of the reign of Amir al-Mu'mineen, there was less support. That was in many ways due to, it wasn't the only element, but one of the serious factors was the lies that were being spread and circulated by Muawiyah and the people that he paid to circulate that misinformation in Kufa, in Basra, in Egypt, anywhere they could get their people there and to spread that misinformation. After the Shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen, all of what they had against the Ahlul Bayt increased multifold. Now, Muawiyah is officially ruling over the entirety of the Islamic Empire. So the sermons on Fridays in Mecca, in Medina, they are appointed, the person who will be delivering them, they will be appointed by Muawiyah. The message they deliver to the people is going to be aligned with Muawiyah's wants and desires, and that obviously meant that it's going to be against the Ahlul Bayt, not only against the direction of the Ahlul Bayt, it would be against specifically Ali ibn Abi Talib, the companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the direction, of course, that Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayh led people towards. But the attack was against Ali ibn Abi Talib, and of course his heir to his reign, or the wasi of Ali ibn Abi Talib, which is Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayh. There was a lot of that going on. Imam al-Mujtaba did many things in order to lead. One of the things he had to do was to deal with this misinformation that's being spread. There wasn't too much that the Imam could do by himself. He perhaps presented a model, a way of taught whoever wants to follow that. He taught them a method of dealing with this. So he did it personally, and whoever saw that, if they followed him, if they saw him as the Imam, or if we see him today as our Imam, we should follow that process, or follow that way, those instructions that he practically performed and showed us that this is how you deal with this propaganda against the truth, the slander against the leaders, the true leaders. The measures that Imam al-Mujtaba took against the propaganda machine of Muawiyah against the Ahlul Bayt were numerous, of course. And they all deserve discussion, and they all deserve us to study, learn, and take advantage of them. I want to talk specifically about one of those measures, which is one of the reasons why Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayh has come to be known by the title of Karimu Ahlul Bayt. Imam al-Mujtaba used to have, he would invite people for food, for a meal, and he would feed people generously, not just the number of people, the amount of food, and the, according to what is said, the variety of food that was available. It was partially it's that, and also how he treated people that came to him that didn't even ask for help, some of them being travelers. These are all in a particular context. We want to talk specifically about this area here, because there were other things he did, speeches, otherwise letters, conversations against Muawiyah, against his methods, about what he did to the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, against what he had written in the contract or had agreed in the treaty that he signed. There are other measures, so that's something that I want to make clear. This is not the only measure Imam al-Mujtaba took, but it is one of the measures. We have to understand what it is. What's the purpose of it? Who do you do it towards? Who is this? Who is trying to be influenced here? What is the Imam trying to do here? So the idea is this, that in an environment where the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayh and people close to him are being depicted as horrible people. That's what they started doing. That's what Muawiyah did in Sham before Ali ibn Abi Talib was assassinated and was martyred salamullah alayh. That had already started. That's why 70,000 people gathered to go and fight the son-in-law of the Prophet, the father of the grandchildren of the Prophet, the husband to Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen. 70,000 Muslimin gathered to fight Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why? Because of these lies, Muawiyah, the way he depicted Ali ibn Abi Talib and his decisions and what had happened. People thought, oh, for Allah, we need to go and fight. In Karbala, that's a different story. At Imam al-Hussein's time, that wasn't the case. The people who came and fought Imam al-Hussein, they knew who he was. That's why he asked them. In the Battle of Siffin, that the 70,000 people from Sham came to fight Ali ibn Abi Talib, most of them didn't know what's going on. They didn't know Ali, they didn't know who he was, they didn't know what had happened. They only heard what Muawiyah had to say. After the Shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh, that those lies started circulating on a larger scale. More people are hearing it. But again, one of the areas that has been most influenced is the area of Sham. Imam al-Mujtaba deals with these ignorant people. These are ignorant people that have been influenced, have been brainwashed, we would say today. In other words, the person doesn't really hate the Ahlul Bayt as they really are. They hate the depiction that has been given to them. They hate the Ali ibn Abi Talib that Muawiyah has depicted, has portrayed, has described. The descriptions of Muawiyah they hate. What are the descriptions of Muawiyah? Well, horrible things. He's a bloodthirsty, ruthless killer of good people. The third Khalifa was a good person. They used to say, Ali ibn Abi Talib is responsible for his death. And a whole bunch of other stuff, and it just got worse and worse. If those statements that Muawiyah had made against Ali ibn Abi Talib were true, then that person that had been described should be hated by any Muslim. I think these were lies. So the person doesn't really hate Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is Mawla al-Muwahideen. The Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is really and truly Imamul Muttaqeen, that Muslim doesn't hate them. They just think Ali ibn Abi Talib is not Imamul Muttaqeen. They think Ali ibn Abi Talib is Al-Ayadu Billah, what Muawiyah is. Muawiyah was Imamul Fujjar at his time. The leader of all the Fujjar, all the Fusaq, all the criminals, at his time, it's Muawiyah who was leading that. The Iblis at his time was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Mal'un. What he presented himself as, the person who wrote the Quran, the person who accompanied the Prophet, the person that has all these great traits. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib is a horrible figure. Ignorant people that didn't know any better, they were naive, they took the lies of Muawiyah on board. They really thought Ali ibn Abi Talib and after him Hassan ibn Ali are horrible people. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with these groups of people? So there's a few groups of people, see? There's the group that has been influenced by the propaganda machine, meaning they're not bad people. They were naive to think what the propaganda machine says is true. That's one group of people. Then there's a group of people that creates those lies. Well, they know what they're doing. Muawiyah knew what he's doing. Amr ibn As knew what he was doing. People close to Muawiyah who didn't care what Islam says, they knew what they were doing. There are A'immatul Kufr, the leaders of Kufr, the leaders of Nifaq. That's one group. There's a way to deal with them. There are those who know the truth and are silent. That's another group of people. Each of those needs to be dealt with in a different way. There are people who are genuinely ignorant. They don't know the truth. They were naive. They thought this person that looks religious, the Khatib, the one who leads the Friday prayers in Medina, in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, this man is standing, he's delivering a sermon. In it, he curses Ali ibn Abi Talib. We think this man is a religious man. This is the mosque of the Prophet or Masjid al-Haram, and he's a pious man. He's saying this is who Ali is. He thinks he's telling the truth. Misunderstands. Out of love for the Prophet, he thinks he should hate Hassan ibn Ali or Ali ibn Abi Talib. How do you deal with them? It is important for us to recognize such people exist. Today, that's relevant to us. People who think the Ahlul Bayt are not those whom we depict and the descriptions we give of the Ahlul Bayt, they think are not true. There are those who think what we know of Islam, of the Quran, of the Prophet is not true. Rather, what the bad influencers are telling them those things are true. They think what the Western media, for the non-Muslims, the Western media is giving them, they think that's true because they haven't heard anything other than that, or because they're naive, they think that, well, maybe Fox is a little extreme, but CNN is good, or maybe CNN is bad too, but NPR is good, PBS is good, this local newspaper or whatever is good. They don't realize all of these are under the influence of the Zionist network, and they're being fed lies, not only about Islam, but anyhow, they have simply accepted what the media has given them in their genuine, naive, sincere, a simple-mindedness, a simplicity in thought, being naive, they've accepted that. They don't really hate Islam as it really is. They don't hate God. They many times believe in God. They love God. They think Islam is against God. They've been told that Islam is the Antichrist, the one who is against God, the ideology who is against God. There are people, non-Muslims, whose understanding of Islam is naively taken from the propaganda machine of those who are against Islam, those who knowingly are against Islam. The American establishment, the European establishment, the European power structure, the American power structure, the Zionist lobby, the Zionist network, the Zionist leaders of the world. These are enemies of Islam. They know what they're doing. They know they're lying about Islam. But then there are the larger numbers, the huge masses of people who, if they have an opinion against Islam, is entirely because of the misinformation they've been fed. They really think that's the case. They'll argue with a Muslim. They may curse a Muslim. They may harass a Muslima, a hijabi. But the reason they do that is based on the misunderstanding that that hijabi, that Muslim, that Muslima, is against God, is against true human values. Why do they think that way? Because of the media, because of the propaganda machine of the enemies of Islam. Amongst the Muslimin in general, there are many Muslimin that think what we as a Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, who we follow the Ahlul Bayt upon the command of the Prophet, and therefore being the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, being the Shia of the Imams from the Ahlul Bayt, is the Sunnah of the Prophet. Because that's what he taught. And if a person chooses not to be the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Imams from his progeny, they are not following the Sunnah of the Prophet. They may not be doing so, or that decision of theirs, again, this is what we're talking about, predominantly the Muslimin who think that we have gone astray, we're believing in something that's not there in Islam. It's not because of their own research. It's not because they went through stuff, they found material, they said, no, I'm going to reject this. Because it's clear, if you really look for it, you will see it. Look at the numerous accounts of people who simply looked at the data and saw that, no, this is true. There's an abundance, conceptually and then spiritually, it's a whole different thing. The Ahlul Bayt are the ones that God has set for our guidance. So if someone genuinely asks Allah to guide them regarding the matter, Allah will guide their hearts. They're spiritual, and many people have been guided based on that, and conceptual in terms of writings, verses of the Quran, hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and other evidence, there's an abundance of it. Rational arguments and so on and so forth. Most of those who think that we have gone astray from the path and the teachings of the Prophet. We believe, we exaggerate about the household of the Prophet. It is not because they've done research, they found the material and rejected it. No. Predominantly, the people who believe so and think that we are wrong, because nowadays we don't have people, this is part of the work of the Ahlul Bayt, we don't have people that actually hate the Ahlul Bayt. We don't have that. That's the Ahlul Bayt with the work of Imam al-Mujtaba, this method that he used, and the rest of the Imams, the enlightenment they gave the people, and what people saw of the Ahlul Bayt. Over time, the Umayyad version of Islam, that was not Islam, they called it a version of Islam, which was against the Ahlul Bayt, that no longer exists. There's no such thing anymore. Hating the Ahlul Bayt doesn't exist. It's the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, believing in the Imamah of the Ahlul Bayt, that some of the Muslimin who are not Shia, they may have dislike towards us. There may even be hatred towards us. What is that hatred because of? Is it because that person knows Ali is right? He was the first Khalifa appointed by the Prophet. He knows that, and he knows that Hassan ibn Ali is the second Imam and Imam al-Husayn is the third. He knows all of that, but he says, no, I don't want to accept that. Ya Rasulullah, I reject this teaching of yours. The rest of it I accept. This one I don't accept. Is it because of that? And they've decided, no, I'm going to hate those who believe in this part of the message of the Prophet? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. For the most part, the people today who have a negative approach towards the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, it's because propaganda machines led by and paid for by Western powers, they are the culprits. Be it that they get the Saudi regime to do it, but the Saudi regime is really a puppet. It really is. If anyone doesn't understand that, I'm sorry for them. I really hope God opens your mind. The Saudi government cannot do anything. They can't even think of anything to do, much less to plan it, much less to actually do it. They can't. This propaganda machine that works in the name of the Saudis in Arabia, in other names, in other Muslim countries, this has influenced the Muslimin that think they should have a dislike towards the Shia. They think the Shia are astray, have gone astray. The Shia have become kuffar. They think we call ourselves Muslim, but we're really not. Do they know who we really are, what our beliefs really are? And where do we get our beliefs from, really, truly? From what verse, what hadith? No, they don't. They have naively, this khatib that leads thousands upon thousands of people in their Friday sermon. He gives a talk, he says, oh, I warn you against the Shia, they're this, that, the other. That person sitting there thinks that this guy is a pious man, everything I've seen. It seems he's a pious man, or he must be. And then it's not just him. This other person. Post-Islamic revolution, one of the ways they tried to stop the spread of the revolution, which was an Islamic revolution, all Muslimin found the Islamic revolution as a beacon of hope. And it led many youth across the Muslim countries to feel strong about their Islam, about their Iman. Well, the enemies of Islam had to do something about that. They started saying, well, this is not Islam, this is tashayyu'. and they started paying these so-called ulama, khutaba. One way or another, some of the khutaba themselves are confused. They're not very knowledgeable. There's somebody above them that feeds them misinformation. Sometimes they're not even paid. Poor guy is doing the work of somebody else. They're doing the legwork, that khatib, that speaker, the one who's giving the Friday sermons. They think they're doing good. They don't know that the person that fed them that misinformation is a shaitan, is an iblis. Paid by the iblis, the great Satan, the US and the Zionists. They don't know that. They go with their misinformation. They spread it. Most of the people are influenced. Then there's another group of people who think that we have gone astray. They don't hate us. They think we've gone astray because they've looked at the data, unfortunately, the fabrications that have been put in hadith books, in history books of the Muslimin, that the likes of Muawiyah and the other Umayyad governments and the Abbasid governments paid ulama to write these books, compile these books in those ways. A person who wants to do research, sometimes they get bogged down with all the misinformation that's found in these books. And so they think that, okay, I looked at the evidence, but it doesn't add up. There are some people that are like that. They don't genuinely want to go against the truth. They want to accept the truth. But so far, they have been misled with the fabrications that are found in history books, or they have made errors in their analysis of the material they have found. So the number of people within the Muslimin that are really against the Prophet in his teaching regarding the Ahlul Bayt, those are munafiqeen that are few, like the Saudi regime, these regimes that are puppet governments of the West, and some of those who identify as ulama who give fatwa based on the money that is paid for them. This is the suht that the Quran talks about, changing God's religion for money. Some of these so-called ulama. And it's not only them. We've mentioned this. Yasir al-Habib is being paid to spread the misinformation that he is. La'natullah alayh. He is not a Shia, and he is not a Shia scholar. He's one of those who takes money to change Islam. Suht, la'natullah alayh, and whoever follows that path, in the way he does, of course. There's naive people that think that, oh, he's a mu'ammam and he knows what he's talking about. They're similar to these people, although it's difficult to deal with. So we have, amongst the Muslimin, we have people that resemble those who were affected by the propaganda of Muawiyah during Imam al-Mujtaba's time, salamullah alayhi. We have amongst non-Muslims globally, people who are influenced by the media that makes us all look like horrible people. And Islam look like a horrible ideology. They don't really hate Islam as it is. They hate their portrayal of Islam. So in reality, they hate bad things because what they're saying about Islam is bad. It's not good. Islam doesn't say those things. They're describing Islam in ways that are not true. It's not Islam. And Islam says those things are bad. So the people who hate Islam because of those depictions, because of those portrayals, because of the propaganda, they really hate bad things. It's a good thing. They should hate those bad things. The problem is they think those bad things are in Islam. They're from Islam, that's the mistake. That's what shayateen have done for them. How did Imam al-Mujtaba deal with these people? How did Imam al-Mujtaba deal with these people? The first element is patience. Be patient. Don't lose your temper when you hear someone like that cursing Islam. If you see Donald Trump opening his filthy, dirty mouth and saying nonsense against Islam, yeah, get upset. and in a logical, rational way, of course, but with passion and with anger. Show that anger. There's nothing wrong with that. Against Trump, that's fine. Against Obama, that's fine. Against Salman Rushdie, that's great. Against any Western politician, academic, whoever that knows what they're talking about, they're part of that propaganda. Well, get upset, speak up, show that you're upset at that, and explain why what they're saying is a lie, and they know it. That's fine. Don't be quiet. Don't be silent. Don't say, no, we need to be patient here. Don't say anything. No. That's not where you're patient. That's not what Imam al-Mujtaba did. Imam al-Mujtaba didn't treat Muawiyah the way we're discussing. This is the way he treated those naive people that are influenced. Be patient. Somebody comes and starts making fun of Islam. If you identify them to be of the naive people who are influenced by the propaganda, just be patient. Hear them out. Just pray, God, this is an ignorant person. They're a naive person. Guide them. Don't get intimidated in any way. If somebody comes and starts throwing out nasty words against a Muslimah, what they're doing is very bad. In many cases, it's a naive, ignorant person. They think, and I'm not talking about what they identify as a bigot, people who have prejudices, people who are, those, even those we should be patient with, they're not very intelligent people. Even the Prophet dealt with those people more, and we've heard more, it's a similar behavior, be patient with them. If they're not a smart, intelligent person who is doing things out of animosity and enmity towards Islam knowingly, if you see that, oh, this is a poor, ignorant person, then be patient. First of all, God's going to protect you. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. You're not going anywhere. Nothing's going to happen to you. Allah is going to protect you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ God's with you. Be very comfortable. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Okay. Be patient also. So don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. And be patient with them. Imam al-Mujtaba, in some of the accounts that we have, and the way he dealt with them, was that the person would come to him and start cursing the heck out of what he felt was a bad person. On this side, you have Imam Mujtaba salamullah alayhi. Imam Mujtaba is standing, the man is coming and cursing him out, or cursing his father Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. Imam Mujtaba is hearing this. Imam Mujtaba is a mu'min. A mu'min is not supposed to be okay with actual curses against them. This is what we have in hadith. We're not supposed to be okay if somebody just comes out and starts using very foul language that you don't have any issue with it. No, that's not the case. But this is the case is a person is saying those words because they think their understanding is that I'm a bad person. That's a different situation than a person giving me those nasty words because of a personal matter that we went through. Now he hates my guts because I did something he didn't like. Now he's coming out, well, that's where, you know, you shouldn't be okay with them cursing you out like that. Of course, the way you treat that person is not that you necessarily do the same thing, depending on what they're saying and so on. But the idea is a hadith that you should care about what is being said to you, and not just say, oh, it doesn't matter what's being said. Those are about personal disputes, personal issues. But if a person attacks me with words because they identify me as a Muslim, and the reason why they're doing so, I identify as because of their ignorance and being influenced by all of what's out there, be patient. Not only was Imam al-Mujtaba patient and didn't return their foul language with similar foul language, Imam Mujtaba gave a little bit of time, paused, let him say whatever he wanted. He paused. Then he said, I think you're from out of town. Have you had food? Do you have a place to stay? Have you had a meal to eat? And the accounts that we have, that behavior just changed the perspective of the person. Of course, that's the imam. We may not be able to change a person's perspective with just that one incident where their perspective of Islam changes. But definitely, if that was an ignorant person, if you are patient, and instead of returning their foul language and their misbehavior with a similar conduct, you return it with kindness, like Imam Mujtaba did. If you do that, even if the person doesn't say it there, they are deeply affected by that behavior. And it will influence their understanding of Islam, be it that they may not be completely convinced that Islam is actually good. Doesn't matter. That one, the effect is enormous. To be able to communicate with such people, not be afraid, not be intimidated, be patient. That's one thing we said is very important. Communicating and being open to people who don't seem to like us, but we know it's because of the misinformation that they have, which is the dominant majority of those who don't like us. It's because of the misinformation. Be patient, allow, don't worry. Don't be intimidated. Don't feel nervous around such people. God's with you. This person is an ignorant person. Calm yourself down. Be able to communicate. Even if you see something negative, they're looking at you, staring at you. What is this? You know, just talking about, oh, this person was staring, that person was saying he's racist, he's this, he's that. If they're ignorant, just ignore it. Ignore it. Do your thing. Be completely normal. Completely fine. That's the patience we're talking about. And then if there's room, sometimes maybe there is, because you can't just show somebody in the street, they're staring, do you have a place to stay? Or that's not going to work, obviously. That was a particular context that Imam Mujtaba told the person, you know, it seems like you're from out of town. When you see maybe an instance where you can actually assist them, you can help them, help them out calmly, normally, not trying to suck up to them, oh, please accept me, because that's how, when some people say, you know, be nice to people, the way they're nice, they see themselves as inferior, and they want to go there and behave in a way so that they think I'm a nice person. Doesn't matter what they think of me, I'm concerned about their thoughts regarding Islam, regarding Muslimin, because of their Islam. That's what I'm concerned about. So I don't really care if the person accepts me or not. God says, be kind to this ignorant person. Okay, I'm going to be kind. Imam al-Mujtaba showed to this person, be kind. If you have, above that, if you have a Muslim that says negative things against tashayyu', against the Shia, against the ideology of tashayyu', for the most part, it's based in ignorance. Again, don't be intimidated. And don't be angered. Don't let that irritate you. Sometimes, this is important for us to have that control. Sometimes the ignorant, and sometimes the enemies, they try to intimidate or they try to irritate you to get a certain response from you. We have to be in control of our emotions. If it's an enemy of Islam, that's not our conversation right now, but in cases, I remember we went to Hajj, inshallah, Allah give us a tawfiq to go again and again, and we hope that we get to go to Baqi' to Masjid al-Nabi and visit the grave and the shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the four Imams in Baqi' and Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. There were some of these people that clearly were there for the wrong reasons. Some of them were ignorant, but some of them were shayateen. They deliberately, when they saw a young Shia, they identified them as Shia, they would come and try to irritate them to get a certain response from them. And as soon as they would get heat, it would get heated and they start shouting or start moving, that'll be what they needed. Just take them to the station and give them a little hardship. Why? Don't do that. That's what they want. You fell right into their trap. Be in control of your emotions. Realize what's happening. They're trying to get you to show that type of behavior. But besides that, a Muslim that has issues with tashayyu, for the most part, it's based in ignorance. Again, don't be intimidated. Don't be irritated. Be patient. If you see, if it's not one of those, as we said, the very few, very, very few that is knowingly and willingly against true Islam. They have a problem with Islam. They don't like God. That really is the root of it. That's a different thing. We're talking about the majority of Muslimin that have an issue with tashayyu. Be patient with that. Imam al-Mujtaba taught us that. In fact, the Imam Mujtaba's behavior is towards Muslimin that had an issue with tashayyu. That's exactly what the context is. Learn from him. Be patient. Even if they say very wrong things, it's out of ignorance. They're not really hating on tashayyu. They're hating on what they have been told of tashayyu. Be patient. And then with that, it allows for communication. And then it allows at times to assist and help. That behavior, like Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayh, is going to have an impact on the person. It may not necessarily be that the person is going to now say, oh, I realized the Ahlul Bayt are the Khulafa after the Prophet. No, they may not come to that. But even if they come closer one step, that is a great worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it pleases the heart of Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayh. For us behaving in that way, learning from Imam al-Mujtaba. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of Imam al-Mujtaba, helps us behave based on the teachings of Imam al-Mujtaba. Some of those amongst us, brothers, sisters, amongst us calling themselves Shia, what they're preaching for us to do, or what they're teaching us with their behavior, is to go against the teaching of Imam al-Mujtaba. And to be hostile towards the Muslimin that simply don't see the truth. They haven't been taught. They don't know. They teach us to behave the way Muawiyah had his followers behave. To constantly curse. That's the way Muawiyah was. Muawiyah had cursing the Ahlul Bayt in the sermons. That's not what Imam al-Mujtaba did. Al-Mujtaba never told his companions, curse their leaders or curse this or curse that. He didn't. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen did. None of the Imams did. None of the Imams did. This idea of anger, cursing, curse this person, curse that person. That's not the behavior that the Imams have taught us. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of Imam al-Mujtaba, guides us to what's most pleasing to him, inshallah. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true and close companions of our Imam. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, relieve all of those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, the pandemic for all people worldwide. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.